Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show, where intimacy is real. If you desire to intimately connect with yourself, your significant other, children, family, friends, community, and your higher power, this show is for you. Thus, we explore intimate topics, inspiring life stories, spirituality, and insightful tips on strengthening relationships. This show is hosted by Dr. April and her co-host, Dr. Kelly. Now let's get this episode of the Bringing Intimacy Back Show started, because we share with you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love, or love the life you create. Now here's your host, Dr. April, and co-host, Dr. Kelly.
Hi, welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. Yes, welcome for today, guys. And today we are going to be intimate. Yes, yes. And many of you guys are like, what is that about? What is that about? Well, Dr. Kelly, welcome again.
Thank you. It's good to be back on the Bringing Intimacy Back Show on National Flirting Day.
National Flirting Day. Yes. Yeah, so we've got flirting, we got intimacy. Yes, I don't even know where to start.
I'll tell you, I heard on the radio this morning that it was National Flirting Day. And I thought, well, I'm going to at least try to flirt, right?
Right.
At least once. And I think I told you that in our morning meeting. I was like, come on, April, you're going to have to flirt at least once today. And I'll try to do it myself. And guess what? I went to a store and I was in line, and it was a pretty long line. And there was a lady in front of me and a lady behind me, and a guy came by and he gave us like a free coupon for something. And right. So I reached into my, you know, bag and pulled out my, like, what do they call that? It wasn't liquid courage, but it was like, okay, I'm going to try this flirting. And right. So I said to him, today is National Flirting Day. And
ooh. He said,
I'll have to tell my girlfriend. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm sure that she would like to know it's National Flirting Day. And it just tanked. It just tanked. And then he walked away and I said, okay, that didn't go so good. And the lady in front of me and the lady behind me started laughing. And yeah, I said, yeah, I had a different vision for how that would go.
Okay. But you know, the great person that you can flirt with, you know, Kelly, do you know who you can really flirt with? Who's just amazing?
Who?
Got a lot of character and a lot of jazz, and it's just beautiful.
You?
You don't know? No. It's yourself, Dr. Kelly.
You
flirt with Dr. Kelly. Yes, yes.
I should flirt with myself.
Looking in the mirror and say, wow, oh my gosh. You know?
Yeah, yes. We should look in the mirror and say kind things to ourselves.
Right, right. And as we go back and talk about intimacy, that is one of the forms of intimacy. Intimacy means into me you see. So if you could look deep into Dr. Kelly's eyes, or once could look in the mirror and look, oh my gosh, that can definitely turn someone on.
You know, the thing is that I'm not sure if women do this as much as, or if men do this as much as women, but I know that most of our listeners are women, some are men, but predominantly women. If we're just critical of ourselves, I was even doing my hair and I was like, oh boy, you know, and I have adapted to this hairstyle and I really like it, but you just don't want to see the back of my head. We have to be kind to ourselves.
We definitely, yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, I know you challenged me to do a flirt thing, and I was on my way into the office. I was like, oh my gosh, who am I going to flirt with? Because I don't see anyone, but a cameraman was coming here to do a talk on ED.
Right.
Yes. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just flirt with him. But really, I actually knew him, so that didn't happen. But I just actually sent a beautiful text to a person that I love to cheer them up. Yes, yes, yes. So that was my flirt kind of thing. And actually, to be honest with you guys, I stole it offline. It said something like, God created heaven and earth in 6 days, took a rest, but it took a thousands of years to create you, something like that.
Oh, how beautiful is that?
Yes, yes, definitely.
How nice is that?
Yes, yes. So today's show is about intimacy. And the reason why I wanted to talk specifically about intimacy is because, you know what, Dr. Kelly, I don't know about you, but every time I sometimes say intimacy, people always think just sex. Yeah. Sex, sex, sex. And sex is great. I love sex, but it's there's other forms of intimacy. So I want to have a discussion with our audience about all the forms of intimacy and even how that plays into sexual intimacy.
Yes, because it really is not all about sexual intimacy. In fact, if you can understand these other types of intimacy that we're going to go through today, then it will maximize and magnify your sexual intimacy, which many people say is really, that's the icing on the cake, that intimacy does begin in so many other ways. So like, say, for example, aesthetic intimacy, which is sharing experiences of beauty, music, nature, art, and theater. And so that when you think about if you're going to go on a date with somebody, whether it's, you know, a partner, a spouse, somebody that you've just met, think about what place you would want to be intimate and or enjoy. Like, hey, say, look at that. Look at that. You go to Lakes Park. We're here in Southwest Florida. There's a beautiful park here. I went to Lakes Park to a farmer's market. And then I walked all the way around and I saw nature and some other things that I hadn't seen in a long time because I had my nose in a book or a computer. And it was really, really nice.
Yes, yes. And you, right. And you're right. With intimacy, you do have to be present.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for some people, for some of us or some people, and I can be one of those sometimes, when we're not actually present, our mind is like thinking 50 million different things. And so one of the first thing is being present. One of the second thing also, I think, with intimacy requires a heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you have to feel, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I do. And another specific area of intimacy is communication and intimacy within communication, which means that means you sometimes have to be vulnerable. And in intimacy, I think about like the different types of levels, and it is it's a vulnerable thing to tell someone they hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to tell a friend that they hurt my feelings a while back, and I felt like it sounded so infantile. And so like, what do you mean? Like, yeah. But I said, I talked myself into it, and I said, you know, I'm going to tell this friend that they hurt my feelings because I don't think that they intended to, and it was affecting our relationship. And they didn't know I was withdrawing, and they felt that I wasn't as close to them, but they hurt my feelings, did not intend to, but until I communicated it, they had no clue. Mm-hmm. And then as a result, the friendship went not only back to where it was, but then it became a deeper level of intimacy within a friendship. So it's not just, you know, a sexual intimacy or somebody you're dating or, you know, you're married to or relating to. It's a friendship intimacy.
Right.
Intimacy is very important for all of our relationships.
Right. You said a very important word, being vulnerable. And I'm not sure if many people understand that, but that's like being open. And even if, like you're saying, in the sense of communication, recently, well, the other day I got my hair done. And for many people who go to barbershops and salons and that kind of stuff. Anyway, that my hairdresser, I should say this, but anyway, she tends to run late all the time. And I've never really said anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, that was in the sense of poor communication. And I realized that sometimes people don't have the same time thing as I do. But being open and saying, hey, you know, I don't know if you realize that, you know, you've been running late and this causes me to run late in my other aspect. Can we, you know, find a way that we can meet in the middle? Yes. So that open communication is critical.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise it can build resentment, and that's not good for any relationship. Right. Or just say, by not communicating it, the person doesn't have an opportunity to rectify or correct this, and then all of a sudden they lose business or they lose the closeness of the relationship, and they don't even know why. Because
right.
You never trusted them with the truth of the situation.
Right, right. And just to also talk a little bit about communication of people out there listening, when you communicate about your hurt, you really have to take responsibility and say, I feel I need, and not attack, saying you.
Yeah, I don't encourage starting a sentence with you. especially if you're trying to resolve a conflict.
Yes.
In fact, that's another form of intimacy, conflict intimacy. And that means facing and struggling with differences together. To expect in a relationship, Dr. April and listeners, that there's not going to be a conflict is just unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was doing some premarital counseling out in Scranton, Pennsylvania, of all places, I had told this couple, I said, you know what? And it sounded so, I don't know, I was a young counselor, so it sounded brilliant at the time. But I said, for every single conflict that you have before you're married, you should be grateful for and be thankful for that, because you get to resolve a conflict before you're married. And you'll get to see how the other person handles the conflict. And that is a form of intimacy, because you're going to have conflict.
Definitely. And I say the same thing to also parents who have adolescents who may cause conflict, because it's really important. And even parenting intimacy is another form of intimacy. I'll get into later. But when you understand how your kid deals with conflict, and also another intimacy is crisis, then you have a better understanding of preparing them for the real world.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
yes.
And that's yeah.
Yes, definitely. And conflict, you said, it's always going to happen because we're all different.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And you know what? I'm not a real big fan of grounding, because Let's take, for example, in parental intimacy and, you know, how we handle conflicts with our children or when they do need to be disciplined. Some people just say, you're grounded for a week. Well, what that does is it keeps you on the outs with your child for a whole week. They can't have a resolution for a whole week. So there has to be other ways that you can resolve a conflict or help them to resolve it without being, you know, maybe they're grounded from a certain place. Specifically, if they act it out in a certain place, say, okay, you know, you're not going to be able to go to this place for a while. But sometimes grounding can keep you with an unresolved conflict. And we want to resolve conflicts as much as possible.
Right. And sometimes with conflict, sometimes it happens inside a crisis, or sometimes it happens outside a crisis. And crises are another form of intimacy. And that form of intimacy, I honestly think when I'm working with couples and they're starting to date each other, maybe it's been a year or 6 months or a little bit longer, how a person handles a crisis in their life and how they connect with you in the beginning tells a lot about how the relationship's going to be.
Yes, that's very, very telling. And that's another reason why I think it's very important, and I'm sure you tell your clients this too, that it's important that they go through the seasons for premarital counseling that you do, that you go through the seasons and you see them with their families. Like, how are you going to resolve a conflict? Are you just going to fire them? Or are you going to increase boundaries? What are you going to do? How many steps do you take to resolve a conflict before you just cut somebody out of your life?
Right. Have you ever yourself, Dr. Kelly, had to deal with crisis in intimacy?
Yes, I did, actually, with my oldest sister. I went a whole year without talking to my oldest sister.
What was the crisis beforehand?
The crisis was a misunderstanding regarding one, my mother had passed away, and it was regarding a horse of all things. And we did not agree on a certain situation of how this horse died.
Okay.
And how the horse was buried. And it was just emotional. And I had unresolved conflict, Dr. April, with grief over the loss of my mother. And I handled it so poorly. And I went an entire year after saying very unkind things. And very few people really know this about me. They don't know that I do struggle with anger at times. And so I went a whole year without talking to my sister. Now we have since resolved this conflict, and she's one of my best friends again. And I'm grateful for that. But yeah, I went through that, and it was a result of unresolved grief. I did not go through all the stages of grief, and it affected the other areas, you know, intimate relationships in my life.
You know,
we still may not agree over some of the things that happened, but we've resolved the conflict. And we now have intimacy to the point that I had her come to my house for a whole 10 days.
Wow.
And I missed her when she was gone. When she was supposed to fly back, I said, we need to extend your flight. I haven't had enough time with you. And that's an outright miracle.
That is, that is. And I hope that miracle happens for a lot of us are in the crisis of the coronavirus, job loss. Yes. Many people have, like you said, passed away.
I know.
You know, which is so sad. And the sad thing, especially when people pass away and I see it kind of tears up families. You know?
I know. Because
they're all hurting. And when you hurt, sometimes you're not able to communicate, going back to that communication and saying, you know, I'm hurting. I need a moment. But we just sometimes verbally say things out because our heart is just overwhelmed.
Yes. And sometimes after grief and after loss, people begin to fight about things, but it's not about the things. You have to look a little bit deeper. It was not about the horse. It was not about the horse.
Right.
It was about the loss, that it was one less living thing that my mother loved. And then when I reframed it and I realized, you know, my mother loved me. Well, wait a minute. She didn't love me more than the horse. I don't think my mom loved me more than the horse. Maybe it was equal. But the point is that sometimes people do feel like they are fighting over things and it's not about the things. So you have to pause sometimes and say, what do I really feel?
Right. It's about the emotions. It's emotional intimacy, which is another form of intimacy. It's where you're being able to feel emotionally connected. You know, like my partner actually hears me. My partner can actually stand in my world, understand my world, which is really, really important. And like I said, it actually goes back again to that heart, you know? And sometimes when people break our hearts or we have an unexpected death or something unexpected, we feel that pain in that heart. And we feel like it's never, ever, ever going to heal.
Yeah.
But talking about it, writing about it, communicating about it, giving it time, that heart does heal.
It's a vulnerable thing to share with somebody that they hurt you and that you're hurting. I actually asked for prayer on my Facebook page today because I was having a real hard week. And I just, normally I ask for prayer for other people. I'm like, prayer warriors unite. I need some prayer for this person or this thing and this event. And I actually asked for prayer for myself today. And I don't know, Dr. April, if I've ever done that. I'll ask always for prayer for other people. So
guess what? That was a flirting thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually took care of yourself. That was actually being vulnerable. That was really, yeah, that's amazing that you did that you looked out for Dr. Kelly and Dr. Kelly's heart and that people, you know, are praying for you because you are a very special person. So definitely, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. As we've been talking about the heart, one of the things that we have is we focus also on a nonprofit. And the nonprofit for the month of February is the American Heart Association. As we've been talking just about intimacy, the heart is the pumping thing of intimacy and what flows and stuff. And of course, the heart is also a pumping of what keeps us alive. So if you're really thinking, you know, hey, I don't know where to donate. I don't know what big organization to trust. Really trust the American Heart Association. They do a lot for the community. They do a lot of life-saving research. And as we know, heart disease takes too many people in this world. And so if you're interested in it, please visit www.heart.org and go to Way to Give tab. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to finish talking more in depth about the types of intimacy and even what do you do when you lack it in your relationship and what do you do when you lack it in yourself. We'll take a small break and we'll be back.
Are you wanting a vacation in paradise? A vacation to rekindle the passion? A vacation without the kids? A vacation where you can learn how to communicate, where you and your partner actually hear each other and gain insight. If so, vacation counseling is your next vacation. Dr. April Brown has created vacation counseling in Southwest Florida as a perfect option for you and your partner. Our retreats are one couple at a time. We have a variety of packages available to choose from, including virtual couples retreats. If you and your partner are interested in the vacation counseling, please visit us at vacationcounseling.com for more information on pricing and packages. Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep track of the latest news, stories, activities, or coupons on vacation counseling and Dr. April's other services. We encourage you to sign up to receive a monthly newsletter called Intimate Connections at draprilbrown.com. Remember, if you and your partner are struggling with communication and intimacy, and you all are looking for a retreat to connect, vacation counseling can be your next vacation in Southwest Florida.
Welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. Well, Dr. Kelly and I have been sitting here talking about what is intimacy, what's the 411? And as we've been describing, intimacy is a connection, a bond, you know, that's strong, that you actually get to see the other person and be vulnerable and be open. And we were just talking recently about emotional intimacy, how we're got emotions and we get connected, but sometimes people hurt our feelings, and we're leading right into forgiveness, intimacy.
Yes. And by the way, for those of you that are listening and you'd like to call in and ask some questions, the number is 1-888-627-6008. We'll be glad to answer some questions that you may have, or at least springboard off of that into a deeper level of conversation. Forgiveness intimacy is kind of like what I referenced earlier with my sister. I had to apologize. I had to come to that point where I asked for forgiveness. And sometimes people will say, I'm sorry, but they won't say I was wrong, or they won't ask for forgiveness. So if you just say, I'm sorry, that's not really going into forgiveness intimacy, because into me you see means I have to say, okay, I'm sorry, I was wrong for this. You know, you're a parent. And so, yeah, it's always better when the child knows what they did that was wrong. You like when you discipline them, or you try to direct them. Okay, mm-hmm. I accept your apology. What was it that you did wrong? And you use it as a teachable moment.
Right.
There can be forgiveness, and that is a beautiful form of intimacy. Not everybody will forgive you, but at least you have that personal integrity that you're authentic to yourself, and you asked for forgiveness and acknowledged the areas that you were wrong. Not everybody's going to forgive you. Sometimes right. In relationships, friendships are torn apart. In fact, that's another form of intimacy, friendship intimacy. And that means that you feel a close connection with your friends. And sometimes there's friends that are a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And they're all gifts, whether it's for a season or a certain reason that they come into your life. And I'm sure that you have lifetime friends as well.
Yes. Yeah. And I was just thinking, in the sense of friendship intimacy, and even its connection to forgiveness intimacy, that sometimes we have friends, that strong bond, and maybe we didn't even do anything and they hurt us, you know? And it's hard when you're like, you know, well, wait a minute, I was nice, I was doing this, I was doing this. And then you just come and you just hurt me. And for some of us, it's like, well, may I just walk away, cut people off my life, or whatever the case may be. And you have to really, forgiveness is really about yourself. It's not so much about the other person, but it's about yourself. And when you're able to, even if you feel like you didn't do anything wrong, or you did do something wrong, able to forgive, that's such a relief, you know? And that can even make a friendship much stronger in that aspect.
It's vulnerable to tell someone they hurt you, though.
Yes. Yes. And most people, and I know we've said that, I think like 3 times now, you know, saying you hurt me, or, you know, I feel hurt. Best to say I feel hurt by your actions. But that's the only way for things to get fix for that connection to actually become stronger. And if you honestly cannot say it to the person, sometimes it's good to even just write it out in your own little journal. Write it out till you get the encouragement to say it. Or if need be, if you need to send a letter. But be careful on letters and long texts, because sometimes certain genders don't read them sometimes. So, but yeah.
That's a great point, because I am not a fan of texting during conflict at all.
Right, right.
I mean, there is no way that they can hear the tone or the intonation. I mean, I'm telling you, Dr. April, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not sarcastic. I am not a sarcastic person at all. So okay. If somebody perceives that I'm being sarcastic, they're like way off the mark. Mm-hmm. I am not a sarcastic person. And then they're like, via text, it could really come across as sarcastic. And I'm like, I'm not being sarcastic. I really, truly am not. So anyway, I may be passive aggressive at times, but I'm certainly not sarcastic.
Yeah. The one thing that you are is humor.
Yes.
And humor, intimacy is, yeah. Yeah. Some people may think your humor, I don't think so, but some may think your humor is sarcastic, but you do have humor.
And yeah, that is a form of intimacy. Sharing laughter together.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You laugh at yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you know that laughter is one of the best ways to relieve stress and anxiety. Yes, because you're using your facial, the throat here, you know, your voice, you're letting out air, you're laughing. And for some people, you can laugh from your belly.
Sometimes I ask people, like when I'm getting to know them, I'd say, what made you laugh out loud last? And then I'll ask them, who made you laugh out loud last? Because that is a form of intimacy. People that know you well enough to get you to laugh. That is definitely a form of intimacy. Who makes you laugh? Is there somebody that you just...
Chris Rock makes me laugh. But there's a little guy that I can't think of his name in a moment. I'll think of it. He makes me laugh. But I think also if I didn't have laughter from comedians or shows that make me laugh, it would have been really tough to get through this year.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. That's Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart. That's right. I love
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Kevin Hart. Oh, yes, exactly. Oh, I was thinking of this other guy too. Yeah, my sister Becky is a police officer and has been for 18 years.
Okay.
Or 19 now. She's getting ready to retire. And she'll come home from a shift and she will watch like Price is Right or, you know, something with humor. She'll watch those shows that have the kids on them and other things with humor. And I never really understood it at first because I was like, you know, wow, okay, Price is Right, and then these World's Funniest Videos or whatever. And then I started, because I was there for 3 months while working on some dissertation research, and then I got it. I don't have to think. I get to laugh. They're bloopers. They're children. They're animals. And it was her way to decompress.
It has, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it connects people. It connects people when we can all laugh together. In other words, you're sharing the space. And you're actually present, as we said earlier, and you're laughing with a lot of joy.
So you have your go-to shows that help you decompress?
Yes, yes, yes. Either shows about families where they, like I like Modern Family, different shows that just, where people laugh at themselves and stuff. And sometimes, to be honest, I kind of laugh at myself because I'm clumsy. So recently this past weekend, we went biking. And like you're talking about the aesthetic scenery and stuff, looking at birds and all that kind of stuff. And so, of course, if I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing, I fall. And so, of course, I kind of fell over the trees. I fell twice. I fell over the little bridge and stuff. But for me, that was just so funny because it's me.
Yeah, you got to laugh at yourself. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. If you do not laugh at yourself and just keep things a little bit lighthearted, it would just be one more thing that's heavy in this world. And we don't need that. And certainly to laugh at yourself is a form of personal intimacy. Were you able to do that?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you were like, well, wow, how many people saw that?
Yes, yes. And I was fine laughing until these little boys came by and they're like, oh, we think we see snakes here. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so terrified. Why would you say that when I'm down on the ground here?
When my sister Ruthie was recently with me, we went biking and she fell. We were coming up to the clubhouse where we live, and it was a golf day, and she was nervous because it was a boy's bike and not a girl's bike. And we show up there, and the next thing you know, she falls, and she fell gracefully. But of all those men, only one man came up to her, and he was the oldest man. And he's like, and he said, "Are you okay?" And I thought, "Wow, what a heroic man!" This one man, the oldest of them all, was the most compassionate. But she was so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't laughing at herself, but we laughed about it later. And so if you don't laugh initially at yourself, you can come back and reframe it and laugh a little bit later.
Yes, yes. One of the things also in the form of intimacy is being very creative. Sharing on different creative projects. It's a great form of intimacy that can, I don't know if you've done, but I know many people at the beginning of the year did the vision boards where they were using, and what visions board are, if you're out there listening, you're like, what is that? And I've heard of that. Vision board is first thing, either talking with your inner spirit, praying, or just grounding yourself to figure out what do I want in my future. And then it's kind of visualizing it in your mind. Then finding a form of a medium, whether it's paper, cardboard, your computer, laptop, and starting to put pictures on there and phrases, because there's a theory called the law of attraction. What you see out there, what you put out there, it's more likely that the atmosphere would give it back to you. So creating vision boards, I've been in this whole long thing, is one form of creative intimacy. You know, it's doing something creative with a friend, a partner, your children, whether it's drawing, whether it's, you do a lot of creative things. So what are some of the creative things you do?
I did Mod Podge. I did Mod Podge on a plane.
What's that?
You take like napkins, two or three ply napkins, and you pull them apart. And actually, I'm going to show you because I can. Whoa. This actually is a Mod Podge table.
Wow.
See how it has eggs on it?
I love it.
Yeah, I did not make this, but my best friend actually did make that with napkins, took an old little wooden table, painted it, and then she took one ply of the napkin and then put Mod Podge, which is like a form of a glue, and then it lightens up. Speaking of lighten up, I hope you can see my face again.
Okay. Yeah, we still have to do the light a little bit.
I have a great face for radio. But anyway, I'll get that lighting fixed shortly. And then it becomes like a glue, and she made that. And so you could do those types of projects together or just by yourself for personal self-intimacy. But remember when we did the board and brush?
Right, exactly.
World therapist, that was amazing. And I made friends there, and we're there and we're creating. So isn't that great?
Right, right. And I think especially when you're as a couple and maybe you're struggling, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to connect with my partner. And of course, there's the stress of, you know, intimacy. But intimacy doesn't necessarily mean that you have to stress so much about the physical part. What if you were to work on creating something? When you and your partner create something, that's a way of connecting, just how you create, you know, children, as we talk about, but also creating paintings, creating, doing house projects together, just doing something creative actually connects you. Another form of creation of intimacy that helps people is what we call service intimacy, which means, of course, doing volunteer work together, helping out the community, whether it's helping out your church, whether it's helping an elderly person down the street, you know, or getting groceries for one of your relatives. That's really also you know, a great form of intimacy.
Yes, I had a friend go to church with me, and after church, they were filling bags for the hurricane, the last hurricane. And they were trying to fill bags to send, oh, it was to send to Haiti. And so after church, then we did that, and we helped fill some of the rice bags and other types of things. And speaking of intimacy, it looks like I'm on my bed. Look, these are pillows that I'm actually on a little sofa in my office.
Oh, yeah.
We can pillows see. Here. I'm not doing this podcast from my bed, I promise.
Yeah, you may have to move your light just a little bit just to so we can see your face. So like you said, it doesn't look like you're that's better.
There it is. Yeah. Thank you. Because you know what? And I got all excited about doing the projects and then I messed up my lighting. But here's the thing. See how you wanted to see my face? It impacted our conversation just a baby bit. Because you couldn't see my face. And so that's another thing with intimacy, to let people see our face. And sometimes when we have a conflict with somebody, we'll hide our eyes or we won't let them see our face. So I want to encourage those of you that have been hiding your face from somebody because you don't want them to see the pain in your eyes, to use your words and communicate to them that not you hurt me, but I felt hurt when this happened. You know, I felt hurt during this recent event, and restore that intimacy and let them see your eyes. Mm-hmm. Many times, Dr. April, as you know, in marriage counseling, people will sometimes, if they do have a pain, they will withdraw and they won't look at the person or they'll get silent. You know, it's a way to punish somebody. We'll hide our eyes or we will hide our voice. And so I do encourage people to use your words and communicate to them with sentences that start with I and not you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, from a spiritual point of view, and there is spiritual intimacy, which I'll go into in a few moments, but the heart and the soul of a person, you can really tell by seeing their face. You know, yes. And so when people hide their face, for the other person, they can't really understand the whole story. But I know that sometimes people hide their face because they're in pain or they're in fear of letting other people know that they're in pain. But in reality, the one thing that 2020 has shown us and 2021 is that we're all in this together. You know, there's not... no one in the world who hasn't been affected by what's happening of this pandemic. The isolation, the confusion, the chaos, the fear, the loneliness. So I believe everyone in this world has had some pain because of this. So don't be afraid to show your face.
And even our spiritual intimacy, sometimes, that's our spiritual intimacy with, you know, of course, whether it's your higher power or some people say the universe or with God or Jesus, whatever, Jehovah, whoever you're, the spirit. Like for me, it's God and Jesus. But you know what? That spiritual intimacy will affect our countenance. So you can tell anybody that knows me, they know if I'm not doing well spiritually because my entire countenance changes. Mm-hmm. And it's not a happy one, mind you. Mm-hmm. But that countenance, in fact, scripture even says that he lifts up our countenance. He lifts up our head. He is the keeper of our countenance. And so sometimes if you notice that somebody is, their countenance is changing or they look troubled, you can just as a friend say, hey, are you doing okay? Can I pray with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with you. I think even for myself, when my intimacy with my, I call him God is not there, the confidence isn't there. Because in reality, I try to do his will. So when the intimacy is there, remember, intimacy is about connection, you know? And so when we're connected and I feel like he's talking to me, I'm talking to him, and now I'm doing what he's says for me to do, like right now, I know I'm supposed to be right here at this moment, then I have confidence that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And there's no doubt that I need to be anywhere else because this is where I should be.
And in our spiritual relationship, that involves communication. And in that's prayer.
Right.
And there's different religions that believe that you can speak to God through a different medium, meaning the priest or different avenues. But nonetheless, it's still communication. Mm-hmm. And that means that we have to pause and sometimes not just pray and ask God to supply something, the prayer of supplication, but that we are still. That we are still and that we listen for the answer.
Right, definitely. Yes. So we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to talk about these things into action. How can we use action in the form of intimacy?
If you are listening to this commercial, you have a pulse. If you have a pulse, you have stress. You may need a therapist. How do you find a therapist? Oh, you go to your phone book. Wait, what's that? Go to the World Wide Web, you type in therapist near me. And then you find a list of acronyms. LMHC, LPC, NCC. How on earth do I understand this and navigate this? Go to drkellyboucher.com. Dr. Kelly specializes in helping people that struggle with anxiety, stress, burnout, grief, depression, compassion fatigue, sleep issues, body image issues. You can have help today. DrKellyBoucher.com.
Welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. So we've been talking about intimacy, and now we're going to go into about action into intimacy. And one form of action is recreational intimacy, which means actually going and playing, enjoying, and having fun. And so that is really, really important when you're with friends, when you're with your significant other. And actually, when we talk about in this show and in later shows, sexual and physical intimacy, this is what we're talking about, the recreational, playing together. Yes, using body motions and stuff to get to connect.
Sexercise.
Yeah.
You actually do burn calories, right?
Yes, you do. Yes, yeah. And you're saying right, like, yes,
okay. Well, I mean, hey, I'm not the sex therapist.
Yes.
You have all other specializations.
Yes, you do burn calories when you do, when you have sex. Also, it's a great sense of release.
Yeah. So when,
yes. And it's a natural form, and it's something that was created for our bodies to release. Yes. Another great form of intimacy that Dr. Kelly, that you and I share, is that work and intellectual intimacy. You know what yeah. I mean?
Yes, I do. It's fun to experience the closeness of sharing ideas. And even throughout our journey here on the Bringing Intimacy Back show in this 10th season, to be a part of that, a new part of something that you've already had for a decade, and to brainstorm and to look at the strengths of your past shows and say, hey, dream about that future.
Yes.
And of course, it's a little intimidating, mind you, because there's so many technology is like, I mean, they maybe created like 1,000 new apps last night for all I know. But being able to share the vision for what you have for the Bringing Intimacy Back show, to be able to just create and be inspired and share these ideas, say, let's try this, or what do you think of that? It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and sharing with your intellect, because you're very good at humor, connecting people, culture, diversity, you know, is one of her strong forte. And so, and also just being able to do things randomly, and it's very good in the sense of the connection of that sort. Yeah, so Dr. Kelly, do we have any questions for the audience about all these different forms of intimacy that we've just talked about?
I had one that came in from Illinois. Amy from Illinois wanted to talk about parenting intimacy. Said that she has a teenage daughter and she hurt her teenage daughter's feelings, and she doesn't know how to resolve the conflict. She just doesn't know where to begin. She hurt her daughter's feelings and she said, how can I have more intimacy with my daughter when I hurt her?
Okay. So, yes. Well, I'm I'm not saying an expert in hurting my daughter's feelings, but it has happened. It has happened sometimes. And it's okay. I mean, all of us are going to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
But the thing that you need to think of first is being accountable and saying, you know, I'm sorry, mom made a mistake. I didn't hear you. I didn't understand exactly what you were going through. And I apologize. Let's talk about this. For some times when moms and daughters cannot talk and it becomes so emotional, one of the things that I suggest, and I used it at some point when my daughter was in the preteen to teenage years, was had a journal that went back and forth. She would talk about her feelings and write it down. Then I would respond to that and talk about my feelings. And we were able to think about what we said first before you write it down, of course, but able to connect in a way that was so, I think was much stronger now because we were able to understand each other's role. So if you hurt your child's feelings, even if you're, you know, 65 years old and, you know, and your child's 35, it's okay to say, call them up and to say, hey, I'm sorry, I did not understand such and such. And yeah. To validate those feelings.
To humble yourself and to say, I'm sorry, I'm not a perfect parent. And then hope they don't latch onto that and say, yeah, you're not. And allow them to say that if that's what they want to say. We don't write scripts for our children.
Right. And honestly, they don't come with a book. I was like looking like, you know, my vagina, where's my book?
Yeah.
She came out of it. Yeah.
Ron Hutchcraft wrote a book. I don't know. It was in the early, late 90s. I think it was called 10 Time Bombs for Raising Teenage Children. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage them to, Lynn, if you're still listening, to maybe check out that book, 10 Time Bombs. Because regardless of the gender, we do have time bombs with teenage children. I do have another question. And this is from Lynn, no state mentioned, but Lynn said that they used to be really close to their friends at work, but now since COVID, they're working from home and they feel completely disconnected from their work spouse, work friends.
Right, right. And that can truly happen because you're not, there's no water coolers anymore, but you're not passing each other, catching up. So sometimes maybe it's okay to even just have a meeting without an agenda, just to connect. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. So set up a Zoom. Set up a Zoom. Yeah, that's a great idea, Lynn. We'd recommend that you take some time and maybe schedule a Zoom or a WhatsApp and then reach out to your friend and say, you know, as if they're walking into your office. Because sometimes I would have people come walking by my office and then they'd come in and say, hey, how are you? So it doesn't have to be an agenda. That's great advice, Dr. April.
Right, right. It can just be a gathering. And sometimes even people have done it where they've shared meals together. Why don't your family and my family share a meal together? 6 o'clock, we turn on the Zoom. It's Taco Tuesday. And we all, yeah. And so I get to know about all the people you've talked about, you know, through, you know, 5 years of working together with you, and you get to see my pet and my cat and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Because we're seeing one another's homes. I mean, hello, my new bird. You're seeing the background of my office, my floating bookshelves. It is kind of funny though, isn't it? Some of the backgrounds that people have in their videos.
Yes, it is.
And they're like, what?
Yes. Yes, it is pretty
good. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I love this topic. Intimacy, it's so broad. And I know that since I've joined this show as a co-host, people have said, well, what is this bringing intimacy back? Like, what are you talking about? And so today really gave a broad overview of different types of intimacy. It's not just sexual intimacy. In fact, that is, it's a part of it. And it certainly can be strengthened through communication and other things. But I really liked this today. I like this intimate connection with you today, Dr. April.
Yes. And actually this show is about which this question actually is coming from Allison, definitely from Colorado. And I'm going to read her question, but this is what the show is really about. She said she's been married for 10 years. They have 3 kids. And for some reason, she doesn't feel connected to her husband. Mm. What advice, what suggestions or tips can we give her? That message right there is what this show is about. Bringing intimacy back for couples or people who have lost it.
Yeah, I mean, I would encourage her, Allison. The thing that I would encourage you to do is go back to the thing that drew you to your husband to begin with. The things that drew us to that person that we love. And then the busyness can kind of keep sweeping us to different parts of the room. If you've ever been to the fair and they have this, I don't know what they call it, but you stand there and then they start the ride and it starts to go in a circle and then the floor drops out and the momentum keeps you back. So you look down and there's no floor because everything from the center is pushed back. And that's what happens in the busyness of our lives. You can be there and start this life together with your husband, with your spouse, with your partner. And then the busyness of life throws everything that's important seemingly to the other side and the floor is dropping out. And I encourage you to just stop the ride, get off, hold one another's hand and reconnect. That's what I would recommend.
Awesome. Yes. And so as we are finishing this up and talking about the shows coming up, we have coming up next week on February 25th, Sherry Gaba, and she's going to talk about love addiction and smack. And then on March 4th, we have 2 people who are coming in to talk about music and intimacy, which is a form of creative intimacy. And then at the after that, we have Pamela Harvey coming, and she's talking about how to be a safe haven and conversation about intimacy. Kind of a more spiritual type intimacy.
Nice. And for those of you that are listening and you love the Bringing Intimacy Back show, we encourage you to check out our website at www.bringingintimacyback.com or follow us on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, and like and share, please.
Well, Dr. Kelly, this has been truly an intimate moment. Yes.
It's been in my heart today.
Yes, that we were able to be open, and share our thoughts, our ideas about intimacy. And for everyone who else is out there listening, please follow us. But also, besides listening and taking in what we are saying, I'm going to challenge you to go and be intimate with someone. So, I went through all the types of intimacy. Choose one of those and just go and do it. And see how you feel about it. Connect with us on social media and let us know how it goes.
Great. Yeah, let us know. Give us some feedback on how some of the tips may have influenced your life and impacted your relationships.
Yes. This has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show. We'll see you guys next week.